We're learning the Sicha on Chelek Yud Beis, Volume 12 of Lukut HaSichas, Parsha Shmini, the first Sicha. The Sicha is based on Rashi, Chapter 10, Verse 2, Perek Yud Pasuk Beis, on the topic of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's children's death, on the first day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. So the Pasuk says that they brought a sacrifice, a ketores, an incense, an offering that was Zara, that was foreign, that was not proper into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Mishkan. And as a result of that, Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Beis, verse 2 says, Vateitze esh melifnei Hashem, a fire came out from Hashem, Vateicha lo isam, and consumed them, Vayamuso, and they died. So Rashi quotes the words, Vateitze esh, and a fire came out. And he explains two reasons of why they died. Rabbi Eliezer says that the reason is because that the only reason why Aaron's children died was because they taught a law in the presence of their teacher Moshe Rabbeinu, and they didn't just teach the law; they actually did something in his presence without asking him and without being instructed by him. That was this sacrifice that they brought, and as a result of that, they were deserving of death. And Rabbi Shmuel says that they went into the Mikdash, into the Mishkan, intoxicated, having drunk wine, and that was the cause of their death. Teida, a proof that that's the reason why they died. That after they died, Hashem warned Moshe and Aaron to teach the Yidden and the Kohenim that they're not allowed to go into the Mishkan, into the Beis HaMikdash, after drinking wine. And then Rashi concludes, Moshe Lamelech, an analogy for a king, Shehoyle ben Bayis Fechulu, that had a confidant in his home, etc., as Kedisa Vayikarabah has explained in Medrash Vayikarabah, Medrash Rabbah Vayikarabah. Rashi doesn't finish the Moshel here, he just says Vechulu, etc. The Medrash continues and says that there was once a king that had a confidant in his palace that was frequenting places that were not appropriate. And the king had him killed, and but did not, because of his status, he didn't want to share publicly the reason for his death. But he appointed a second, a new confidant, with which he warned not to go to these particular places, these stores, these bars that the first advisor had frequented. And with that, we understand that that was the reason that the first confidant had died. So Rashi's telling us the two reasons why Aaron's children died. Number one, because the Rabbi Eliezer's reason was because they taught a law, they followed up and did a law of bringing a sacrifice in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu without being told by him. And Rabbi Shmuel says because they went into the Beis HaMikdash intoxicated. So the Rebbe brings a number of questions on this Rashi. Number one, the obvious question is, the Pasuk makes it very clear why they died. The Pasuk says that they died because they brought an Eish Zara, a foreign fire, foreign incense, a foreign sacrifice into the Beis HaMikdash. That seems to be the reason what the Pasuk is making very clear, why they died. Why is Rashi even looking for another reason? And not only is Rashi looking for another reason, he finds two other reasons other than the simple text of the Pasuk that says that they died because they brought an Eish Zara, because they brought a foreign fire, they brought a foreign incense, Ketores, to the Mishkan. Second, why does Rashi have to bring two reasons? We know a rule that the Rebbe brings in many Sichas on Rashi, that if Rashi brings two explanations, that means one explanation is not enough, and we need each of the explanations don't suffice. But yet, between the two, the first one is the more accepted one in Pshuta Shemikra, following the simple text of the Pasuk, or can have a less of a degree of a question. So we need to know what are the questions on each of these opinions, and what makes the first opinion more acceptable. Another concept that the Rebbe brings in many Sichas is that if Rashi brings the names of a, or the name of a Tana, In quoting or an explanation, it's because the names help us understand something on a deeper level of their explanation. And finally, when Rashi brings the Medrash, he brings only the first few words. Marshal the Melech Shahayla ben Bayis, the analogy of a king that had a confidant in his home, etc. So here the Rebbe asks that if Rashi was trying to bring only part of the Medrash, then he should have said just the first couple of words, Mashal Melech, an example for a king, etc. Or look in the Medrash for a Mashal on this. Why did he have to bring the first five words or six words, Melech Shehoyele Ben Bayis, a king that had a confidant, etc.? It seems that Rashi is trying to allude and teach us something by giving us those couple of words, Shehoyele Ben Bayis, instead of just saying, look for the Mashal or the Mashal of the king. So the explanation of this Rashi can be understood from the Divrei HaMaskel, as the Rebbe many times explains, that the quote that Rashi brings in the Pasuk many times tells us what Rashi is really coming to explain. In this Rashi quotes the first two words, Vateitze Esh, and a fire came out. Rashi does not quote the word Vayamusu, and they died, even though it seems that that is what Rashi is here to explain, the reason for their death. And yet, Rashi's quote in the Pasuk is only the first two words, Vateitze Esh, a fire came out. Which leads us to say that what Rashi is here to explain are those two words of Vateitze Esh. What is difficult of these two words, Vateitze Esh, a fire came out? So if we look carefully in the Pasuk, it's very obvious what the question is. Two Pesukim before, in Pasuk Chavdalet of chapter 9, the two Pesukim before our Pasuk, the Pasuk is describing what took place after the initial building of the Mishkan and bringing all the Karbanis that Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu brought on the eighth day of the Miluim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it says that the Shekhinah didn't come and the Yidden were worried. So Pasuk 23, Chav Gimel says that Moshe and Aaron came from the Yomayid. They came and they blessed the Yidden and they gave a bracha to the Yidden, and then glory of Hashem appeared to the Yidden. A fire came out from Hashem and consumed onto the Mizbeach, consumed the sacrifices. The Yidden saw that the Shekhinah came to the Mishkan. They broke out in praise and in tefillah and in joy for Hashem. So these words, a fire came out from Hashem, is used to describe the success of the Yidden, that the Mishkan was accepted, that a Shekhinah came and presented the Yidden and brought tremendous joy to the Yidden. Two Pesukim later, the Pasuk uses the same expression to teach us the death of Aaron and Aaron's sons of Nadav and Avihu. It seems odd that the Pasuk would use the same words. And therefore, this leads Rashi to tell us that it must be that the sacrifice that the Aaron's children brought were an appropriate sacrifice, appropriate incense, Keteris. And therefore, Vateitze Esh, the Shekhinah came down and consumed the Keteris, because it was a holy Keteris, it was a holy sacrifice that was appropriate for the Shekhinah to come and to consume. But because there was something else, a sidebar, that was done inappropriate, that led that they should also die. In other words, at the same time that they brought a keteris, this incense, that was appropriate, and therefore it was something that led to Vateitze Esh, a fire came out, a revelation of the Shekhinah, but at the same time, because there was something else inappropriate, they died because of that revelation. What was it? Rashi's asking, so what was it that led to their Shekhinah, to the Shekhinah coming to the Shekhinah, to their death? And at the same time, it should be considered a good carbon. So Rashi says they did not die, Ella, the only reason why they died, meaning that the sacrifice was a sacrifice, the Keteris, the incense, was an appropriate incense conceptually. But there was an issue, and the issue was that they brought it without the direction of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, they did something out of their own understanding, without asking Moshe Rabbeinu first, or without being told by Moshe Rabbeinu to do this, and this in itself was reason for them to die. In other words, it was an Esh Zara. It was a foreign fire because they weren't told to bring it. Similar to an expression that the Torah says about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, about the inner altar, that it says that any sacrifice that is brought onto the inner altar, the inner Mizbeach, that's not the Keteris, is Zar, is foreign, which means it could be an appropriate sacrifice, but it's Zar Aloy. it's foreign to the Mizbeach. So similarly here, where the Pasuk is saying, according to Rashi, that the Ketores, the incense, could have been appropriate. And that's why the Shekhinah came. But because it was Zara, it was foreign to Aaron and Aaron's children, because they did not get permission or they were not instructed by Moshe Rabbeinu to do this, so therefore it became foreign to them and it led to their death. But the question is, such a strong punishment for not asking Moshe Rabbeinu or not being told by Moshe Rabbeinu to bring a carbon? So for this, Rashi says, yes. Who's the author of this statement? Rabbi Eliezer. On one end, we know Rabbi Eliezer was a tremendous Tana. He was referred to as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, the great Rabbi Eliezer. In fact, the Medrash says about Rabbi Eliezer that the stone that he sat on, the chair that he sat on, was compared to Har Sinai, and Rabbi Eliezer was compared to the bris, to the Aron HaBris, to the Aron that contained the Luchais. Rabbi Eliezer was from the greatest Tanoim. And yet Rabbi Eliezer taught us that when they asked him a question, he said, I'm sorry, I can't answer, because I did not hear this from my teachers. And whoever says something that they did not hear from their teachers causes the Shekhinah to be removed from the Yidden. So from here it's understood that if someone says something that they did not hear from their teacher, not in the presence of the teacher, they cause the Shekhinah to leave them, how much more so? If someone is saying something, if someone is doing something in the presence of his teacher without being constructed by his teacher, that it's something that causes the Shekhinah to depart, and therefore Aaron's children deserved such a great punishment, a tremendous punishment of dying. On the other hand, the question is that this interpretation has a little bit of a contradiction. On one hand, we're saying that their sacrifice led vateitzeish, that the Shekhinah came into their presence. On the other hand, it's saying that if they did something without the direction of their teacher, so it causes the siluk Shekhinah, for the Shekhinah to be removed. So how could it be that as a result of their ketores, which was done without Moshe Rabbeinu's instruction, it led for the Shekhinah to come? So therefore, this leads Rashi to look for a second interpretation. And the second interpretation is that what they did wrong is that they went to the Beis HaMikdash after having drunk wine, intoxicated. Now the thing is that this they were never told yet they're not allowed to do. This is something, as Rashi goes on to say, is only something that they were taught afterwards. In other words, the reason why Rashi continues to say that they were taught about not going into the Beis HaMikdash after drinking wine only after they died is not only in order to tell us the proof that this is the reason, as a simple meaning of Rashi, but rather Rashi is also alluding to why this sin was, on one hand, something that was harsh, because it's something that they shouldn't have done, but on the other hand, it's not as harsh as the first explanation. And the reason is because they were never told about this yet. This is only something that they were told afterwards. But on the other hand, the fact is that Moshe and that Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's children, were very great tzaddikim. They were very close to Aaron. They stood on the Har Sinai close to Aaron. They were the ones that were taught the Torah together right after Aaron was taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. They were taught. And so therefore, on someone that's on such a high level, they should have, on their own, understood that going into the Beis HaMikdash after drinking wine wouldn't be appropriate. And this is why Rashi continues to bring the mashal. And he says only the first few words of the mashal, like we said before, that it's odd that Rashi brings a couple of words. Because these couple of words, Rashi is explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. It's not just a mashal. It's a mashal that explains his opinion. On one hand, we see that Aaron's children did something that was inappropriate. On the other hand, they weren't told about it. So how should they have known not to do it? So for this, Rashi brings the mashal and says, because there was a ben bias. He was a confidant of the king. And if he's a confidant of the king, he should have known on his own that this is something that the king wouldn't appreciate. In other words, as the result of Nadav and Avihu being so close to the Eibishter, to the point that we know in this parsha also, in this context, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, "V'krov ayei kadosh," that these are the holy ones with who Hashem is going to sanctify the Mishkan with. They're holier than me and you, Moshe tells Aaron. And if that's the case, then they should have understood on their own that drinking wine would not be appropriate before they go into the Mishkan. And therefore, that's why they were punished to such an extent that they died. But at the same time, it's still not so glatt, it's still not so easy to say they should get such a harsh punishment for something so light. So for this, Rashi brings the name of Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara says concerning Rabbi Yishmael, or concerning the Kohenim, Kana, Messiah, Kana, that a Kohen aids another Kohen, that the Kohenim aid each other. The Gemara says about Rabbi Yishmael that he was a Kohen who always aided the other Kohenim, meaning that he was always looking to help them and be lenient about them. So too here also, being that Rabbi Yishmael was a Kohen Gadol, he was a Kohen, he was looking to make it easier, Anadav and Aviyu. So instead of looking for the reason for their punishment to be something that was harsh and something that they did wrong, that they knew they shouldn't have done because they were told they shouldn't do it, rather he rather go with the saying that they did something light, meaning they did something they weren't even told not to do, and their only sin was that on their stature they should have understood on their own not to do it. But yet at the same time, there's still difficulties on Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Because the Pasuk makes it clear that they brought a sacrifice that was Zara, that was foreign. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, we understand why it was foreign. Because it was foreign to them to bring a sacrifice, even if it was an appropriate sacrifice, because they weren't instructed by Moshe Rabbeinu. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, it wasn't the sacrifice that was foreign. It was entering the Beis HaMikdash after drinking wine. The very entering of the Beis HaMikdash is a problem, or the Mishkan is a problem, not just bringing the sacrifice. Yet the Pasuk seems to make it clear that it was the sacrifice that was the problem. Secondly, the Pasuk says the Vateitze Eish, that they died because of the fire. Why does the Torah have to tell us exactly how they died? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's understood. Because being that their fire, their Shekhinah, their Ketores on one hand brought the Shekhinah, on the other hand, they did it in a way to cause the Shekhinah to depart. So therefore, the bringing of the Shekhinah is what caused their death. The Vateitze Eish had the two opposite effects. On one hand, it brought the Shekhinah because it was an appropriate Ketores, like Rabbi Eliezer says. But because it was foreign to them, because they brought it without Moshe Rabbeinu's approval or instruction, so therefore it causes the Shekhinah to leave, like Rabbi Eliezer says, that someone who teaches says something without his teacher's instruction, without having heard it from his teacher, is causes the Shekhinah to leave. So therefore the coming of the Shekhinah caused them to pass away. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, what does a fire coming to the Shekhinah Beis HaMikdash have to do with the death of another Nevi'im? So because of these two questions, Rashi finds the first interpretation to be more acceptable and more understanding. So to summarize, the main question in our Pasuk here is not why they died, because that the Pasuk seemed to have told us. But rather the question is, how could the Pasuk use an expression about Teitzei Eish, that a fire came out to kill them, when this is the same expression that's used for the Shekhinah to come into the Mishkan? And so therefore, for this, Rashi brings two explanations. In other words, the primary concept is that the Ketores was appropriate to the point that it brought the Shekhinah to the Mishkan. But yet, at the same time, it caused their death because there was something else inappropriate at the time. The primary answer is Rabbi Eliezer, that says that the words Vateitze Eish indicate that the Shekhinah came, but the Shekhinah also caused them to die. And the reason is because they did it without the instruction of Moshe, following Rabbi Eliezer's teachings, that someone who teaches something or says something without his teacher's, hearing it from his teachers, causes Misa, the Shekhinah to depart, and therefore they were Chayav Misa. However, that seems to be very harsh of something that they didn't, just for not saying what Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems that at the same time that the Teitzei Eish is bringing the Shekhinah, that leaves the Shekhinah, it seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. So therefore, Rashi brings a second opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, that the problem was that on their level, they should have understood that coming to the Beis HaMikdash after drinking wine, on their level, like the Mashal says, a Ben Bias should understand what the appropriate thing is, and that is that they should not come into the Beis HaMikdash after drinking wine. And as a result of that, they were Chayav Misa. And even though it's a much lighter concept because they haven't been taught this yet, but Rabbi Shmuel is looking to ease the sin of the Kohanim as a fellow Kohen. But this opinion is more difficult because A, the Pasuk makes it clear that their sacrifice was inappropriate, and not entering the Beis HaMikdash. And second, why is the Pasuk indicating that their sin was because of Ateitze Eish when it seems not to have a connection? The Rebbe continues the Sicha now with bringing an idea in Halacha, as the Rebbe many times would look for an idea in Halacha in this Rashi. Rashi says that this was that they did a law b'frei Moshe Rabban, Moshe their teacher. Seemingly, Aaron HaKohen was there also. Aaron was their teacher too, and their father. Aaron was their teacher, as we know that after Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron, and then Aaron's sons, and then all the and this Zekanim, and then the Yidden, the Torah, Aaron then went ahead and taught their sons, and the Zekanim, and the Yidden, and then and so on. As Rashi brings in the Gemara native and earlier, this Seder, the order of how Torah was taught. So which means Aaron taught the children. So if Aaron taught Aaron's children, if Aaron taught his children, he was both their teacher and their father. So seemingly, why does Rashi emphasize that they passed an halacha? They did something in the presence of their teacher Moshe, when we could emphasize the fact that they did something in the presence of their father, who was both their father and their teacher. The Sicha is usually learned around Pesach time, as it is this year. So the Rebbe brings the halacha and Pesach that helps us understand this. The halacha is that when a person is in the presence of his teacher, a Talmud is in the presence of his teacher, he's not chayiv to lean, haseva, to lean during the Seder. Because it's not kavod, it's not honorable to do so in presence of your teacher. However, unless your teacher clearly forgives. However, if you're in the presence of your father, even if he's your teacher, then you could lean. Because there's a chazakah, there's an assumption that a father is meichel on his kavod. So what do we see here? That on one hand, a teacher could be meichel on his kavod, but until he explicitly does so, we don't know that he does that he would do so. Whereas a father is meichel on his kavod, according to halacha, and we can accept that he does so, even if he doesn't explicitly say so. And therefore, that's why Rashi emphasizes that b'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, because they were the sons of Aaron, did not have to worry about doing something in the presence of their father without being told by their father, because their father would certainly be Michael, would forgive them. But then before Moshe Rabban, but before Moshe Rabbeinu, they should have understood that they're not allowed to paskin something without having heard from him directly, and therefore they were punished to the point of such an extreme of Chayav Misa. Then the Rebbe goes on in the Sicha to bring the Yena Shel Torah, the depth, the chassidus that's in Torah, and the Yiroh and Avedis Hashem. As we mentioned, Nadav and Avihu were tremendous people, to the point that Moshe Rabbeinu says, B'krovei HaKadosh, that they are the holier, even holier than Moshe and Aaron. And yet, even people on such a high level, because they were lacking the bittul to Moshe Rabbeinu, submitting themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu is their Rebbe. And when their Rebbe, and before they do something, they need to know that they have to have permission from the Rebbe. And without that key bittul to their Rebbe, to do something, says Rabbi Eliezer, it causes the Shechina to depart. And therefore, if a Yid says, I'm a big Talmud Chachim, I know what to do, I don't have to wait to ask a question from my Rav, I don't have to ask the Rebbe what to do, I could make my own path in serving the Eibishter. So for this we learn from Nadav and Avihu, who is greater than them, and yet their whole sin, according to Abel Ezra, was only because they went ahead and they did halacha without asking Moshe Rabbeinu first, and because of that they were chayav misa, because they caused the Shechina to depart from the Yidin as because of the lack of their bittul. On the other hand, there are times that a Yid has to use his seichel. Shisu Yayin, drinking wine. Wine symbolizes bina, understanding, as it's explained at length in the Maimarim and the Sichas of Sukkis, where they report on the difference between wine and water that was poured on the Mizbeach, that wine that has good taste and good smell represents bina and understanding. Shisu Yayin, drinking wine, being intoxicated by wine means that you have so much wine, that you have so much understanding. That idea of going to the Beis HaMikdash with so much understanding is inappropriate. But there are times that you have to drink wine, that you have to have proper understanding. What's the difference? Wine, the Beis HaMikdash represents tefillah, davening. When a person is going into the Beis HaMikdash, is going to daven, like we know the davening is in place of karbanis. When we go daven, we're standing in the presence of Hashem. We have to be with complete bittul. To the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot come shisuyayin. You cannot come drinking wine. To the Beis HaMikdash, one has to come complete bittul, like we said. And like the Gemara says, that someone who stands before the king, even if he just nods, makes a motion, he's chayav misa. However, when a person comes to study Torah, then he has to use his seichel. And the Gemara brings a story of Yehuda bar Eloi that a princess once told him, "Your face is red, it looks like you're drunk." And he said, "That's because I drank so much, I've learned so much Torah." What does that mean? That Yehuda bar Eloi has a great Tana, his Gashmias reflected his Ruchnias. And being that Beruchnias, he learned so much Torah, so therefore, Begashmias, it looked like he was drunk. It looked like the redness of his face of his learning of Torah. And that's the two levels in Avodas Hashem. When a Yid goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he davens, he has to be with complete bittul to Hashem. But then he goes and he studies, and therefore, he's not allowed to paskin halacha without his Rebbe. He's not allowed to go in after drinking wine, meaning seichel. He's coming with complete bittul. But then he goes to learn Torah. And with the koyach of the bittul that he had when he davened first, that bittul allows him to then go ahead and learn Torah. And learn Torah using his seichel, drinking wine, using his seichel, understanding, appreciating, enjoying, like enjoying a good cup of wine, and in appreciating what he's learning, using his seichel to understand as much as he can. Being a ben bayis, the Eibishter gives us the ability to have these two seemingly contradictory things at the same time. That on one hand, he's learning Torah with the complete bittul influenced by his davening. And at the same time, he has the ability to learn Torah and understand it using his seichel. And this is the koyach that Rashi brings from the mashal, that how is it that a yid's able to learn Torah? On one hand, use his seichel. On the other hand, be with complete bittul. It's because he's a ben bayis of the Eibishter, and the Eibishter gives him the ability to take these two opposites and bring them together. So the Heiron Avedis Hashem again is there's times that we need complete bittul, like by davening, being in the presence of the Eibishter. There's times that we need to use that bittul, but at the same time, use our seichel, like by learning Torah, which we can have these two opposites as being a ben bayis from the Eibishter. I just want to conclude that when the Rebbe said the Sicha, it's Parsha Shmini Tashach Avav, the Rebbe concluded to speak about the importance of having a Rebbe in general. The idea of having a Rebbe is of importance, or some people say, the Rebbe said, I'm sure people by the Fabrengen don't say this, but there are people who say that why do we need a Rebbe if I could learn by myself? I don't need anyone in between me and the Eibishter. And for this, we learn from this again, from Nadav and Aviyu, the importance that once, in order to bring the Shekhinah into this world, we need the Koyach of the Rebbe. The Rebbe is the one who gives us the Koyach to bring the Shekhinah into the Mishkan, to bring the Shekhinah into this world. He is the one that empowers us as the Mamutza Mechaber, the one that connects us to the Eibishter, to bring the Shekhinah into this world. And then the Rebbe explained a beautiful Gemara. There's a famous Gemara that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he saw Rabbi Akiva sitting and teaching piles and piles of halachas on every single crown of the letters of the Torah. He said another halacha. And when Moshe Rabbeinu saw this, he became chol shodaita. He became very weak. He saw them learning so many halachas, didn't understand what they were saying, and he felt very weak. Until finally, he heard one of the Talmidim ask Rabbi Akiva, "How do you know this?" And for that, he says, "It's halacha l'Moshe Mesinai." When Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a tradition we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, he calmed down. So l'chora, seemingly, this is an odd story. Moshe Rabbeinu should be so bothered by the fact that Rabbi Akiva is teaching so much Torah, things that he didn't think of. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was the un of Mikol Adam, as we know. He was the most humble person. The Chassidus says that his humility was that he knew that if someone else would have his kaiches, his strength, they would do much better. So here he sees Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah on such a high level, he should have been excited. But based on the sikha that we just learned, we could understand that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva using his seichel, and with his seichel he was digging deeper and deeper and deeper, even deeper than Moshe Rabbeinu was able to, that Moshe Rabbeinu uncovered. Although, of course, everything he was uncovering was from the Torah that Moshe taught, but it was he was uncovering things that Moshe didn't uncover. And Moshe sees how much the seichel of Rabbi Akiva was accomplishing, so tashash koich, he got weak. He thought that with seichel you should be able to accomplish so much. That bothered him, knowing that the true way to connect in Torah is also through bittul. And he didn't sense the bittul by Rabbi Akiva, he only sensed the seichel. But then when a Talmud asked, how do you know something? And he answered, with that he recognized that Rabbi Akiva also was filled with this bittul of Rabbi Akiva, this bittul Rabbi Akiva obviously had throughout, of Halacha Moshe Mesina, that whatever he was teaching was all based on Torah Smesha, the bittul to Moshe Rabbeinu that infused the Seichel. So Moshe Rabbeinu then accepted on the saw the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, of both his Seichel, but infused with the bittul that he had, like we explained in the Sicha, that on one hand, the person has the bittul of not entering the Beis HaMikdash until with Shesuyayin drinking wine with Seichel. You have to enter with bittul. But after entering with bittul, you then have to use your seichel to understand Torah. This also connects, as we said, it's usually learned in times of Pesach. As we know, Pesach, we eat the matzah, which is bittul, and yet we start Sfidus HaOmer, which is counting the Omer, which is about making ourselves better, creating a better self. Again, the combination of these two ideas, of the bittul and the building and creating a better person of seichel and midos, the way it should be. And this is in a summary what the Sikha is teaching us, that on one hand, like both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shmuel teach us that when we enter the Beis HaMikdash, we need to enter with complete bittul. Rabbi Lezer, in his words, not saying anything that we don't hear from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Shmuel, in his words, that you're not allowed to go to the Beis HaMikdash having drinking wine, wine representing Havana Vasag, understanding. But once we enter the Beis HaMikdash and we have this bittul, we're then instructed to go learn Torah, use our seichel, to go count the Omer, to go better ourselves, that our seichel and midos reflect the bittul on our connection to the Eivishter.